I love you too, baby.
You don't need this, right?
Huh? You don't need anything. I go, huh? Well, I'm just excited about today. I don't know, probably because I'll be done preaching, and that's why I'm so excited. Excuse me for not having any shoes on. I just felt like I'm standing on holy ground. I'm taking my shoes off, and we're just going to have the presence of God just take over. How's that sound? I'm going to be speaking to you this morning on reigning in victory. How many of you have never had a difficulty or felt rejection? Or, I mean, I just want to know, because, boy, I want to get with you after this service and talk to you and find out how in the world you ever made it this far without being hurt by others. And to be honest with you, sometimes the church people can hurt you more than the outsiders. The outsiders you can understand, but when it's your own family, then you can really feel some hurts. Amen? But God said that we are to live in victory. We are to reign in victory. So first we have to realize that we have an enemy. We have an enemy. And his whole plan and purpose is to take you out. He hates us, especially as women, because we're so passionate about the things of God. We have such a heart for the things of God. Not that men don't, but women are like mothers. And they just, you know, it's just, they're real sensitive. Their sensitivity is, are we getting feedback? I feel like we're getting feedback. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. So we need to realize that even though there's an enemy, that greater is he that is in us than the enemy could ever be. I mean, he's defeated. We're the victorious ones. He's defeated. And so we need to realize that. We need to realize, I mean, pound it into your thoughts. And every time the enemy comes, that's what you need to be reminding yourself. You will not take me out. I'm a child of God. I belong to him, and I'm going to serve him. And I'm going to just serve him with everything that's within me, so you can keep trying and trying and trying. I'm not quitting. And I'm telling you, when you start speaking out loud and letting the devil know how you feel, you're going to be amazed at how fast he runs. The girls laugh at me because I get a chair out when I feel like I'm overwhelmed and I can't quite get through. I get an empty chair out and pretend the devil's sitting there. And I give him what for. I just tell him, listen here, your days are limited, but my days are eternal. And so I don't care what you try to do with me while I'm here on this earth. I'm still standing. Amen. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill and destroy. But it says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, I looked that up in the Woosh translation, and that last part of that says, I alone. Now, who's the I? Jesus alone came in order that they might be possessing life and that they might be possessing it in the super abundance. I like that. You want to possess life in super abundance? I want super abundance peace. I want super abundant joy. I want super abundant victory. How about you guys? Do you want super abundance? Amen. I have good news for you ladies. I'm here to bring you good news. Isn't that awesome? Isaiah 61. This got in my spirit, and I'm telling you what, I begin to shout through my house. My dog sometimes, his name's Batman, sometimes he thinks, boy, that woman's gone crazy. He'll just sit there and look at me when I get real happy. But this Isaiah 61 says, arise and shine. So I'm saying to you ladies this morning, I don't care what you're going through, what you feel, arise and shine. And that goes on to say, for your light has come. Guess what? Jesus has come, ladies. He's here. He's with you. He's on the inside of you. What more could you want? What more could you ask for? Amen. I just love that. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now, let me let you know what exactly does that mean. Have you ever read that and thought, wonder what exactly does that mean? So I looked up glory. It says the presence. The presence of the Lord has risen upon you and I. Isn't that exciting? And the enemy thinks he can take us out. Ha! That's so funny to me. The manifestation of God. It means the glory. The glory can also mean the manifestation of God. That means everything that's in the Word of God that Jesus did while he was on the earth. We have the ability for that to manifest through us. Hallelujah. Healing manifesting through us. Deliverance manifesting through us. It's not us, but it's him that's in us. The glory of the Lord. The glory also means excellence. Everything we do should represent the Lord. I hate the phrase, it's good enough. It's never good enough. I'm always wanting to improve. I'm always wanting to do better. God deserves our very best. He deserves the best that we have. The glory also means honorable representation of God. Boy, it gets thirsty up here. Honorable representation of God. So we should always honor God because it's in us. It's on the inside of us. But the last meaning that I love more than anything else is glory means victory. Victory. It's already ours, ladies. That's why the enemy tries to come at you. He doesn't want you walking in victory. He don't want you reigning in victory. Because you know what? People will notice. People's going to notice. Women's going to notice that you're walking in victory. You're not defeated. And he hates that. I said that the other night. I love killing devils. I just love it because I'm knocking him out because he has no hold on us. He has no hold. He wants us to think, I'm taking you down. No, he's not. He can't. Because of who's on the inside of us. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you and I. Jesus has come. And his glory is upon us, ladies. That tells me that we can push through to any victory that the enemy tries to bring to us. The defeat of the enemy. We can push through anything that he tries to lay out. Because we cannot be defeated. If we stand, that's why God woke me up. Now, I hope Carol ain't upset with me because you know she's very humble. But God woke me up in the middle of the night and said, you need to honor the generals. And you know why that is? Is because they have stood the test. They have stood all these years in ministry. They know exactly what it means to reign in victory. They haven't gone down defeated, but they're going down in victory. And so they are our examples, ladies. I love to get around the older ones, and I'm almost there. People are going to want to get around me to find out how I, to find out how in the world did you make it all these years. But Carol is a general in the faith. And I'm telling you, if you just have a few minutes to just go and just let her just pour into you, the love of God just comes out of her. And so I want that. I want to be around people like that. I want to be around people that's going to encourage me, cause me to be a better woman than what I am. How about you? We need each other, ladies. If the enemy has put a Goliath in front of you, I got good news. God knows there's a David on the inside of you. Hallelujah. We're going to cut his head off. He no longer has any hold upon you. We're going to cut his head off. Now, I read this story a couple months ago. And I kept going back to it and back to it. And finally, it just took me by, I don't know what it was. It just something that really touched my heart. And I just kept dwelling on it. And so the Lord said one morning in my prayer time, he said, Linda, I want you to share that with the ladies. I said, oh, sorry, Lord. I can't do that because it talks about farmers, and that's men. It's a women's conference, you know, like he cares. But he said, there's some things in that story that the women need to hear. They need to know what it's going to take for them to reign in victory. So I'm going to read this story to you, and then I'm going to share with you a little bit of what the Lord had released to me. This is a story about a major livelihood of the town that was raising cotton. This little town was in Alabama, and their whole livelihood was cotton. But one year, just as it appeared, that they would be a bumper crop. It was going to be the biggest harvest they'd ever had. A boll weevil invaded and devastated the crop and destroyed the economy of that little town. Destroyed it. What would you think if the enemy came in and destroyed everything that you owned and took everything from you in one night? Wouldn't it devastate you? And the thing about the enemy, he don't just care about you. He cares about all those that's going to fall because you fell. It could be your family members. It doesn't have to, no matter what it is, it will hurt more than just you. That's why it's so crucial, ladies, that we have to get the concept of reigning in victory. We have to get that in our spirit, man. We cannot allow the enemy to push us around. I mean, I believe there's warriors being raised up this weekend to go out and begin to possess the land like we were created to do. Amen? Sorry, I got off on my story. But these farmers were determined not to simply sit back and move into the poorhouse. One man got the idea that he was going to start planting peanuts instead. The boll weevils didn't like peanuts, evidently. Another farmer decided, I think I'll plant another kind of crop. And then another farmer followed suit. So all these farmers begin to start planting something besides cotton. Before long, the bumper crops of peanuts and the other produce began to repair the economy of this town. The town became more prosperous than it would have ever been if the cotton had remained its only crop. The town later to be known as Enterprise, Alabama. Enterprise, Alabama. Isn't that amazing? They erected a monument to the boll weevil because it brought them out. Now, we're not going to erect no monument, but they erected this monument of the boll weevil because it reminded them of where God brought them. It reminded them that the enemy was not going to destroy their town. It reminded them that the enemy could not destroy their livelihood or their families. Hallelujah. This is such an awesome story to me. As I read through that story, I felt like the Holy Spirit was showing me some things that I felt like, you know, that we need to learn. Like God said, there's things in that story that I want the women to realize and learn so they know how to live in victory. Now, it's a given that we pray. I mean, we hear that all the time, how crucial it is for us to have a daily prayer time with the Lord. And it's a given that we're in His Word. Those two are given. But the things that God showed me in this story is things that we probably don't even think about as we're walking this walk. Now, I do want to say one thing about the Word. Be careful, ladies, because the Word is what has power. Books don't have the power. Podcasts don't have the power. TV preachers don't have the power. I mean, it's all good stuff. But if you want to change, you got to get in His Word. You know, I've turned on TV. I love TV preachers. But I have sure heard a lot of stuff that doesn't line up with God's Word. Now, if I loved that more than I did God's Word and I wasn't in God's Word, I would never know that didn't line up. Because they sound terrific. They sound good. They sound like they know what they're talking about. But there, you got to have the Word of God in you. I believe in these last days, that's one of the deceptions of the enemy. It's going to be to deceive you to believe a TV preacher or a podcast or a book more than you do His Word. And his word is the most important thing in our lives. Now, I just wanted to bring that out. Can you imagine the devastation that these farmers were feeling? I mean, I put myself in their place. I thought, that would be just awful. I mean, because here you've got a family with kids, and you'd think, how are we going to eat? How are we going to survive this? There is nothing to turn to. Our whole town was producing cotton. And I just felt the devastation that they were feeling when that night as they came out in the morning and all that was destroyed. But the one this first thing that I want to kind of bring out that God showed me was they did not look at the devastated crop as something eternal, but it was temporary. We don't look at the tricks of the enemy as something that's temporary. We look to Jesus, who is eternal. Whatever Jesus says in his word, that's how it's going to be. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen. How many times do we like to fix our eyes on all the problems, all the circumstances? But if we don't fix our eyes on what is that we don't fix. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That means what God's word says, that's eternal. I don't care whether you see it or not. If God has given you a promise, it's eternal. It's not something that's temporary, but it's eternal. And it will come to pass. If you don't give up, if you don't start doubting and having unbelief, it will come to pass. The size of our circumstances and disappointments and hurt is determined by the focus that you give it. I got a saying. When the enemy tries to bring up the circumstances or whatever, the hurt or the pain, I got this saying, and I say it out loud to myself, because I'm telling you, when you say something out loud, it's like it registers. If you think it, it just doesn't register. It's almost like you can't get free from it. But I said, I don't nurse it. This is what I say. I'm not going to nurse it. I'm not going to curse it. I'm not going to rehearse it, but God's going to reverse it. If I do that, if I don't nurse my hurt, if I don't nurse my disappointment, if I don't nurse the things that are coming against me, if I don't curse it, if I don't rehearse it in my mind, you know how many times the enemy just wants you to rehearse and rehearse? God is going to reverse what the enemy has tried to do to you and I. I love it. I love it because we serve such a big God. We serve such a mighty God. It's an awesome God. There's no one any better to serve. I would rather have Jesus on my side than every person around me. Because when you've got Jesus, you got everything you need. Last night touched me so much because Marion didn't lay hands on anybody except people that came to her. But God was just beginning to stir in people, and they begin to come to the altar. They begin to kneel down on their faces before God. They were coming to God. They weren't going to a man or a person, but they were coming to God. They were trusting God to touch their lives last night. It's the most awesome thing to me. That's what I want to see people do. I want to see people turn to God. He's the one with the answers. Hallelujah. It was an awesome service. Awesome. God is bigger than any giant that you might be facing. He's bigger. The enemy wants you to think he's going to take you out, but he's a liar. He can't take you out. He absolutely cannot have you. Now, the second thing I saw in this story was they were determined to not to stay defeated. They were determined not to stay defeated. We have to be determined, ladies, that when the enemy comes with circumstances, we will not bow down to the temptation of defeat. We will not bow down to the temptation of drawing back, becoming complacent. But we will stand strong. Failing at something does not make you a failure. It doesn't make you a failure, nor is it final. I always say God has the last word. You might be doing this to me, or you might be causing this grief, but devil, God has the last word. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For though the righteous fall seven times," woo, "they will arise again." Woo! I get excited when I read that word. Though they fall, they're going to rise again. Are you righteous in here? We're going to rise again, aren't we? We're going to rise again. We're not going to stay at the place the enemy wants us to stay in. We're going to rise above that. When you are determined to persevere through failure, when you're determined to persevere through disappointments, when you are determined to persevere through hurts, that's when you're going to reign in victory. You got to get that determination on the inside of you that I am not going to allow the enemy to win here. I have the winner living on the inside of me. He's my victor. And I walk in victory. Hallelujah. When we focus on defeat, we become blind to new opportunities. If those farmers would have focused on that cotton crop being devastated, destroyed, they would have become failures. They would have never, ever got the insight to plant something else beside that. They would have been defeated by the enemy. But their focus was not on what had happened. When we turn our focus to God, He gives us new vision. I love it. The devil wants to destroy us, but God's going to give us a new vision. You might think you can take what God promised me, but God's going to give me a new vision. And I'm on the winning side. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you for that. I believe because they were determined not to stay defeated that God began to give them a strategy. When we get it in our hearts that we are not going to allow the enemy to have his way in our life, we're not going to bow to his tactics, he's going to give you a strategy on how to come out of it. He always does. He always gives us a way out. He always does. The Bible says you can't even get to heaven unless you go through much persecution. So we know it's a given. That's the enemy's job. And I might say he's rather good at it. But I know the one that lives on the inside of me is greater than anything the enemy can throw my way. We have to believe it. Like Marian said last night, you have to believe it in your heart. Not just your mind, but in your heart. When you get this in your heart, you're going to reign in victory. You are going to be God's Wonder Woman. Hallelujah. The third thing that he showed me is I believe that staying on his word, being positive, will cause faith to rise up and God to move on your behalf. How many of you know when we start murmuring and complaining, God's silent. He don't do nothing. He just real silent. But when we begin to declare his word, he starts moving. We're moving God's hand when we start speaking his word. He said he watches over his word to perform it. He's watching that over his word, ladies, to perform it. This book, and I don't normally promote books, but this book, you can tell, I read it all the time. It's called The Power of Your Words. And it's just full of scriptures. It has scriptures in there to do with healing, faith confessions, covering, drowning out your doubts, faith builder word, scriptures, just all kinds of scriptures in there that sometimes when you're going through the trials, you just need God's word to stand on. And when you begin to speak, I say speak it out loud. I say, speak it out loud. Be loud about it. Let the enemy know what God's word says and that he is going to lose. You're going to win. You're going to reign in victory, but he's going to lose. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the confession of our faith that's going to cause us to reign in victory. The confession of his word and believing his word in our heart, not our mind. You know, you can start quoting his word all you want to, but if it's not in your heart, it's not going to do a thing. We've got to get it in our heart. And I believe, this is my personal belief, but I believe as we pray in the Spirit, it's like a seal that God seals his word in our heart. We just pray in the Spirit because, you know, that Spirit, he knows more than we do. Sometimes our mind is so clouded with the attack of the enemy. I even when I pray in the morning, I even say, I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind that every thought would be established by the Holy Spirit. And because that's where I know that the battle can be lost is in our mind. So we need to make sure that that word of God is coming out of our mouth, not the circumstances, not the problems, not what you're going through, but the word of God. You know, I don't mind people saying I've got cancer, but you know, like the doctors pronounce stuff over me. Excuse me. The doctors pronounce things over me. But you know what? When I leave the office, doctors are good. I mean, God created them. But when I leave the office, I say, I curse those words. And I release the word of God over my life. Because it's the word of God that's going to change that situation. It's the word of God that's going to cause it to change. All you have to do is believe it enough in your heart and things will change. And it doesn't happen overnight. And sometimes we have to work and work and work at proclaiming that word, at speaking that word out loud. But the more you speak it, the more faith's going to rise up and the more ability you're going to have to overcome whatever is coming against you. Amen? Don't nurse it. Again, don't nurse it. Don't curse it. Don't rehearse it. Because Jesus is going to reverse it. I'm telling you, I love that. If your confession of your circumstances is stronger than the confession of his word, your life, you're going to live a life of defeat. You will never live a life reigning in victory, but you're going to live a life of defeat. So we need to speak his word. Wrong confession destroys your faith. So let's watch the words of our mouth. When we learn to believe his word over any attack of the enemy, then only then will you reign in victory. 2 Corinthians says, 2 Corinthians 1:18, as surely as God is faithful, my words to you does not waver between yes and no. Isn't that an awesome promise? My promises to you and I does not waver over yes or no. Verse 20 says, for all, how many? The promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. To the glory of God through us. We bring God glory when we put his word first in our lives. When we speak his word over our circumstances, we bring him glory. And don't you think for a minute that those that are around you aren't taking note. They are noticing how you're walking through whatever you're going through. We go out there and we confess to be a Christian, and then we can say things that is so contrary to God's word. And I'm speaking to myself. I've done it. And I'm sure we all, if we were honest, said, you've messed up now and then. But what do? Though we fall, hey, we rise again. We're going to rise again. We're going to rise again and bring glory to our Heavenly Father. Oh, I love him. I love him. I love his promises. Oh, hallelujah. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. To the glory of God through us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that this morning? Praise God. The fourth thing the Holy Spirit showed me was they had to endure. Ooh, I hate that word. They had to endure for a season, having to start over. Can you imagine that crop of the peanuts and the other produce? It didn't come right away. It takes a year for stuff to start growing again, doesn't it? So they've had to endure for a year. They had to endure. That's the part that really touched my heart, because they kept the faith. They didn't doubt God. They believed God was going to turn it around. And they kept the faith, even in the midst of all that they were going through. But it didn't happen overnight. But it was going to take time to turn around. You and I need to take notice of that. Sometimes we face battles. Sometimes we face situations that it doesn't change overnight. But it takes time for that to turn around and to change. But if you don't waver in your belief, if you're steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, guess what? You are going to reign in victory. It's a promise in His Word. You're going to reign in victory. Hebrews 10:36 simply says, you have need of endurance. God doesn't give us His Word just to be talking. He's telling us, listen, daughters, you're going to need endurance in your life in order for you to reign in victory. Endurance is needed. It's needed. The fifth thing was, they had to trust God for restoration, even in the face of adversity. How many of you have ever had something come against you and you literally thought, I'm not going to survive this? This is my end. I'm going down for the last time. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. They had to trust God for restoration, even in the face of not even knowing where food was going to be on the table, not even knowing how they were going to pay for their bills. They had to face that adversity. They had to trust God. The enemy's plan is to take God's destiny away from you and to leave you with misery and sorrow. Because if he can steal your purpose, guess what? There's no joy, there's no peace, but he just leaves you with nothing but misery and sorrow. I don't know about you, but I don't like misery, and I don't like sorrow. So I just as soon stick with what Jesus has, right? The biblical meaning of the word restoration is to receive back more than has been lost, to the point where the final state is greater than the original condition. Hallelujah. That is a promise from God. The enemy thinks he's trying to take something from you, girls. Whew! Are you going to give him a black eye when God restores double what you had taken from you? Hallelujah. We need to rejoice in that fact. We need to celebrate that fact. Job was a great example in the Word of God. I love Old Testaments and their example. The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. He lost everything, but God gave him back twice as much because Job would not waver in his faith. He stood on what he believed, and he wasn't allowing his friends or anybody else to cause him to waver in his faith. Look what God did. Not only for the farmers and their families, but their whole town. That whole town was blessed because those few farmers decided that they were going to stand on God's word. What would happen if all you ladies in here, all you God's Wonder Woman, would go back to your church and begin to stand on God's word in the face of whatever takes place in your home, in the church, whatever. And you're willing to stand on God's promises. What would happen? We would see a revival like we've never seen before. I say, Lord, let it begin with me. Say, Lord, do that. Lord, let it begin with me. Only God needs a few. He don't need hundreds or thousands. He just needs a few to start a fire. So are you willing to go back? And you willing to stay on fire for God? And let God have his way, not only in your families, but in your churches. Amen. We cannot be defeated. That town became more prosperous than it would have ever been if they'd kept cotton as their only crop. It was just, I think that's why they called it Enterprise, Alabama. That's so neat. 2 Peter 5:10 says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." I don't know about you, but that's exciting. That's so exciting. I'm going to release that in the atmosphere so the enemy can hear that one more time. "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace," hallelujah, "who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself," not us, "himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Hallelujah. We need to rejoice in that word. Yes. The sixth thing that the Holy Spirit showed me was what had almost been the instrument of their destruction became a testimony of overcoming. God turned their tragedy into a victory. We might not erect a statue of our enemy, but we sure can put him under our feet. Hallelujah. I'm putting him under my feet today. How about you? What are some of the things you're facing? I just want to ask you, what some of the things that you're facing? Are you battling a stubborn illness that just doesn't want to let go of you? Physical weakness or chronic pain? Maybe your heart is broken over a relationship that ended in disappointment. Perhaps you're worried about your marriage or anxious about your children or your grandchildren. Are you distraught when tension in your workplace or division in your church? Maybe we're having those kinds of things going on in our life, in our lives. Perhaps you made a mistake. This is one of my weaknesses. The enemy knows it too. Perhaps you've made a mistake that troubles you, or you've been victimized in a way that's left you traumatized. Sometimes we can be our worst enemy because we beat ourselves up so bad. But you know, all we have to do is go to our loving Heavenly Father. And he loves us so much that in spite of our weaknesses, he wants to restore you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to love on you. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:2, he said, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you're going through as if something strange was happening to you." It's happening to all believers. I believe that we are in our last days. I don't know how many years you've heard it, but I believe it. And I believe that the enemy knows that there's very little time to deceive God's people. And I believe he's pulling out all stops. I told my husband the other day, I said, "I have served God for almost 40 years. And I said, I have never felt the battle like I have felt in the last 3 months. It has been unreal of the attacks. It's just been unreal. But you know what? I'm still standing. I'm still believing. I've got promises that he's given me that's not fulfilled. And we got to still stand in the face of that thing. It says, so we see that the trials and the sufferings are not unique to us. I mean, sometimes the enemy can make you think nobody else is going through that. Everybody else is just walking in victory. They just love Jesus and Jesus loves them. And you're over here, you're just a struggling. And that's a lie of the devil. We're all being attacked. If you're a believer, he doesn't like you. He's going to attack you. That's why God wants us to cultivate the virtue of long-suffering in our lives. And that's a hard word to swallow, isn't it? Long-suffering. Every time I read that, because I want the fruit. I want the fruit of his spirit in it, because that's his character. Long-suffering. But all I keep hearing was, Linda, I've been long-suffering towards you. Now you need to have long-suffering in your life. Amen. Hallelujah, Father. God wants to infuse us with can-do attitude, with supernatural endurance, with perseverance and resilience. Psalms 20, verse 7, it says, our boast is in the Lord our God, who makes us strong and gives us victory. Hallelujah. We don't have to do the victory on our own. He gives it to us, ladies. We don't have to work. All we have to do is just go into his presence. Let his presence just come down. Take the hurt, take the pains, take the rejection. Let him take it all. And why God's doing all the work. I mean, how easy is that? If we could just get it in our hearts instead of just in our head. Psalms 21:31 says the ultimate victory comes from the Lord God. It comes from him. That's the only way you're going to get victory is when we seek him. So when we cast our care upon him, victory is as sure as the rising of the sun. It's as sure to us, you and I. What an assurance that we can stand on. That's a great assurance. Oh, that's a good scripture to memorize and keep in your mind. Victory is ours, just as sure as the rising of the sun. Now, for 3 months, we've been going through a real, real trial. I mean, like I said, it's one of the worst ones I think I've ever had to go through. But I know victory is mine. But the Lord gave me a dream. And that dream literally set me free because I was miserable. You know, the enemy loves to make us feel miserable, doesn't he? Like we're a failure. Everything we've done is falling apart. Nothing's producing good fruit. You know, you just beat yourself up, you know? And so that's why I say the Word of God's so important just to start speaking up. But it was almost like I was really battling getting through. Usually it's real easy for me, you know, especially if I get that chair out and give him what for. I can just get through it real quick. But boy, this one has just been a real, real trial. But God gave me this dream. I was holding on to God's hand, and we were walking together. And I remember the feeling. There was such love that I've never felt before. Such peace. Such joy. I've never felt anything like it before. Such faith. I felt like there was nothing I couldn't do when he was holding my hand and walking with me. But for some reason in that dream, I let go of his hand. And the minute I let go of his hand, hurt came in. Sorrow came in. Discouragement came in. Rejection came in. Unworthiness came in. And he said, Linda, when I woke up, this is the scripture he gave me. Psalms 48:10. His right hand, and that's the hand he was holding my left hand, his right hand is full of victory. Ladies, that's the most important thing of all this message, is the hand. Grab a hold of his hand and walk with him, because the joy, and you're going to think, man, all this coming against me and I have such joy, such peace. That's because you got a hold of his hand. Don't let go of his hand. Don't let go of him. He is our victory. We were never created by God to live depressed, defeated, guilty, ashamed, or condemned, or unworthy, or insecure. We were never created for that. God's so much more than that. So ladies, you and I cannot give up, not even for a second. Because if we give up, make sure you know that it's just not you that's going to be affected. But you're going to affect other believers. You're going to affect those in your family. You're going to affect those in the world that are looking to you that know you're a believer. You would be surprised how much that affects. And we want to think it's all about us. I'm always telling my women, it's not about us, it's all about Him. If we can get that in our hearts, we can be so free. Because you, ladies, God's wonder women, were created to reign in victory, not defeat. You are. I'm declaring that over you this morning. You are God's wonder women. You are. And you will reign in victory if you just follow the things that the Holy Spirit had showed me. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's bow our head. Father, I just thank you and I praise you, Father, for this conference. I praise you, God, for your word. Your word is first and foremost. Your word is higher than anything else. The word of God is higher than the word cancer. The word of God is higher than rejection. The word of God is higher than disappointments. The word of God is higher than insecurity. The word of God is higher than unworthiness. The word of God is first and foremost in our life, because the word of God is what will set us free. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you for your word. It's life to us. Without that word, we have no life. But that life is just breathed into us through Jesus. Thank you, Father, that the glory of the Lord, you chose us. You chose us to pour your glory into, Father. You chose us to manifest yourself through. You chose us, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Father. I praise you for it. I thank you for it. Let us be instruments, willing vessels, Father. Let us get all the junk out of our life that we can serve you with everything that's within us. God, when Jesus came to this earth, he turned this earth upside down. I just pray and believe you, Father, that as these women leave this place, that they're going to turn their world upside down. Wherever they go, whatever they touch, God, let your anointing, let your manifestation flow through them. And when the devil tries to say, you shouldn't be doing that, you don't have the goods to do that, help there's something to rise up on the inside of them that says, shut up, devil. I'm going to do what God told me to do. I am reigning in victory. Hallelujah, Father. Now, if you know, I'm going to go ahead if anybody wants to go to the bathroom or anything, but I'm going to be up here. And if you're struggling with the circumstances that you just can't seem to break through, I'll be more than happy to pray for you. We got other women that can come and help us pray, because I know that there's victory. I know there's breakthrough for each and every one of us. Amen. 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 You be blessed.